So the scripture today is from Luke. It's chapter 2, verses 22 through 40. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant, and for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the raising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that he will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was a prophet Anna, the daughter of Phiel, the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to whom all were looking for the redemption of Israel. When they had finished everything required by the law of the land, they returned to Galilee to their town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and favor of God was upon him. And so, give you a little background here. So in the Jewish tradition, before eight days after the birth, and this was even if it fell on the Sabbath, you were supposed to bring the child to the temple. A couple things that were going to happen is they were going to be circumcised and they were going to be named. And so we talked about the name last week, that God had already given Mary the name for Jesus. So we have this idea of the firstborn, and this was, and so from Exodus 13:2, "Consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both man and of beast, is mine." And so whether it was an animal or a child, they were supposed to be dedicated to God. Now, this redemption period, you could kind of buy them back. And so it depended on how wealthy you were. So in Mary and Joseph's case, not that wealthy. And so that's why it talks about giving back the two pigeons. And so it was a way for you to make a sacrifice in order to kind of buy back your child, in this case, from God's work. So there were two different groups of people in Israel at this time. They had been looking for the Messiah forever. You know, it was promised. And so for most of the people, because they were under Roman rule, they tended to think of this Messiah was going to be a political figure. So they were really expecting a king or a champion that was going to drive out the Romans and allow Israel to be its own nation again. And so that's what they were looking for. Now, Simeon is not part of that group. He is what they called a quiet in the land group. So what they thought was really almost the polar opposite. For them, they didn't have any dreams that you're going to have this violent uprising, that you were going to have all this power, that you were going to create this army that was going to be led by the Messiah. Simeon's group really believed, and so we hear this a little bit when Anna talks about constant prayer and being watchful until God arrives. That's what that group thought. So Simeon's part of that group. So I think probably, at least in my messages, I probably led more on everybody there was thinking the Messiah was going to be this big king leader, and I need to be more careful when I do that in the future. So then he sort of gives everybody three things that he thinks is going to happen. Now, depending on how you read these is how you think this is going to go forward. So it talks about many will fall. Now, the commentary I was reading talked about judging. Because a lot of times, whether you fall or rise, it's kind of your opinion. It's kind of what you were expecting to happen. So it's how we judge ourselves. So often, we view ourselves one way and people around us view us an entirely different way. So have you ever been doing something and you go, I just don't know if I'm doing this right, if I have a clue if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing? And the whole time you're questioning yourself, someone will come up and say, you know what, it's really wonderful that you did this, and I just don't know that anybody else could do it. And the whole time you were thinking, I am just the last person in the entire world that should be doing this. And so we tend to judge ourselves kind of negatively. That instead of thinking the positive thing that can happen, we almost always go to the negative. And I don't know why we do that, but that's me, maybe not everybody else is doing that. And so this judging is, how is our heart going to react if we allow the Lord into our lives? Do we do it with goodness and love? And so we heard stories about that today. When Jeremy shared what the church gave in presents, and I forget, how many name tags did we have on the tree to start with? Somewhere between 20 and 30, and all of them got taken. And the presents were bought, wrapped. I say wrapped, but mine went in Christmas bags, which I think technically counts as wrapped, just so you know. But they were delivered to them. And then the school, we got some canned goods from the school. And so when they were packing up the food last Sunday, when I came in for the evening service, there was, I don't know if you guys counted, but there was a lot of packages to give out to people. And so the good news is, people found it in their hearts, whether they gave here at the church or they gave at the school, to help those in need. Now, I would like to think that God led them to do that. If you're a good Methodist, even if they didn't think God was leading them, Wesley would say God was leading them, they just didn't know they were being led by God yet. So when someone does something good, they go, oh, I don't believe in God. That's okay, he's working in your life, you just don't know it yet. And sometimes we don't. And so how we're led in that love and goodness into God's kingdom is what Simeon's telling them here. Now, many will rise. And so when I read that the first time, I thought, we're all going to become great and wonderful. But then I was continuing to read and I thought, well, part of this is how we're lifted up. And so one of the things about that's good about this time of year is they will find somebody that was having trouble in their life, whether it was financial trouble, whether they were having drug or alcohol issues, something, and they'll talk about how they were lifted out of that life into a new life. Now, again, if they don't recognize God led them, then again, they just didn't realize that God's in their life yet. But so many times you hear stories like that this time of year. And so they're going to be raised up from whatever their old life was into a new life. And I'm sure that you guys have known people, and you may have been the ones that helped them. And sometimes it's not a single person that helps them, it's a lot of people that help them. So I was watching the Sunday evening, we've been doing the Redemption of Scrooge, and so I've been watching every Scrooge movie in the whole entire world this year, because they're all a little different, but I was watching The Scrooge with Bill Murray. And I don't know if you guys remember that, but one of the things he does every single day of his... Sorry, I mixed up the Groundhog movie and the Scrooge movie. Bill Murray was in it. We're going to go back to Groundhog Day. But he passes this old guy on the street every day. And the first, 100 times he goes by him, he totally ignores him. And then one day he goes by and he gives him money. And then later that night he finds him dead. And he takes him to the hospital and they say, well, there's nothing we can do for him. And he says, and they said, sometimes you just get old and die. And because he's going to live this day over and over again, he goes, not on this day. And so it shows him going back, giving him the money in the morning and taking him to eat. And he became more and more involved with him. When we lift somebody up, however we choose to lift them up, It may not just be that we gave a gift that went to children that were in need. It may not be one time when we came together to do food and it helped them have a different Christmas. And hopefully there was enough food that it wasn't just for the day, but it lasts in. And one of the things that we need to remember is people that are really in need don't just need food at Thanksgiving and Christmas time. That need is there until they get out of that. And that's where this lifting up, this rising up, is for all of us to figure out how we fit into that. How do we help those in need rise up out of that need? Now, some people are always going to be in need just because they have education issues or mentally they're not in a place that they can take care of themselves. But some people have personal issues they've created by things they do that we can change. And so the question is, how are we going to help them? Then he talks about much opposition. So I already told you the story of Bethlehem where, so we were there in 2013 and about 30% of the population was Christian then, based on what the guys were telling me. When we went through the wall, which I didn't realize the wall was there, and it had been built in 2002 apparently, they did that for security reasons. The unemployment rate on the Arab side of the wall was 30%. If you think about that, that's pretty close to what the United States got for some period of time when the COVID shut everything down and people were losing their minds, okay? That means that part of the world has lived with that for at least 8 or 9 years. So it gives you a better understanding of how destitute and poor that area is. Now, there's different reasons why the Christians are moving from one side to the other, and the problem with watching a news show is they're interviewing different people and you hear different stories, so then you're going, I don't know which is really true. But there's opposition as far as the Christians in Bethlehem are concerned because they feel like they're being driven out. And they don't do it violently, I don't want you to think that. They sort of do it economically. That if they have a choice to go to a Christian store, an Arab store, there's 90% of the population's Arab and they choose not to go to the Christian store, so they're kind of getting driven out economically. So don't think it's violence. And so the movie Jerry Maguire, if you guys have seen it, I thought of this when I wrote this. So Jerry's telling the wide receiver, whatever his name is, because he's trying to get him this big contract. And he says, there's two things you can do. You're either going to be with me or you're not going to be with me. You're either with me or not with me. Now, Tom Cruise does that in another movie too with, what's her name, the blonde. But he does it in this. He tells the wide receiver he has to either be with him or not. Well, that's what we're asked to do with the Lord. We either believe or we don't believe. Last week when I talked about you either believe in the virgin birth or you don't. Because you can go through the Bible, we talked about this, and find places where you could say, well, even they didn't believe in it because Mary and Joseph are talking about Jesus as his son. And so you either believe or you don't believe. You either believe or don't believe that Jesus was crucified on a cross and then he rose from the dead. You either believe or don't believe when you have prayer that it makes a difference. Now, this morning, I love it when the newspaper helps me out on this stuff. This morning in the newspaper, because every article you read is about how distressed nurses are, doctors, because they're just getting overwhelmed from the COVID stuff. There's an article in there about nurses and doctors that have faith beliefs and how they can give you example after example of if they have their own beliefs, it helps them through these tough times. They also can give you example after example of when you have patients, you have two patients that seem to be in the same place at the same time, the patient that has faith belief seems to heal better quicker than those that don't. And so, again, you either believe or you don't believe. Now, one of the things that Barclay said in his commentary is that he thinks that pride gets in our way of believing. So how many of you, so I'd never ask people if they don't like to fly, because really people don't like to, aren't afraid to fly. What they're really afraid of is crashing. Okay, we just have to be honest there. So how many people, when you fly, are a little concerned about crashing? Okay, that's okay. My grandma passed away when she was 94. She never flew on a plane. What she told me was, I don't want to. If men were made to fly, they would have feathers. I said, you know what? You go down the highway 80 miles an hour in a car. She goes, yeah. I go, you can't run that fast. She said she didn't care. She still wasn't flying in a plane. And so, but we let our own personal stuff get in the way. And so he talked about pride, that we don't take things to the Lord because we let our pride get in the way. Now, what I would say that is because we think we can do it better. So it doesn't matter whether you're talking about going to see the doctor, whatever it is, we always can let our pride get in the way, because we can do it better. So I recognize, so if you guys remember, the guy, he was the coach at Oakland, and then he was on Sunday Night Football. He did football, John Madden. He flew all the time when he was coach of football teams. If you've never read this, it's a really interesting story. Flew all the time. Then once he wasn't the coach anymore, first time he flew, he was a little anxious. The next time he flew, he was really anxious. Like the fourth or fifth time, he tells him, I'm not flying anymore. It scares me to death. And so if you remember, they always showed him in this big bus. He had this big, huge, like Trailways bus, and he traveled all around the country when he did those games. So if they had a game like in Oakland, and then they were going to New York, he would start right after the game and start riding the bus across the country. What he finally said was, he said, I realized that I was always afraid to fly, or afraid to crash, as I like to say it. He said the difference was, when I was coaching the team, I always knew that I could make them land the plane anytime I wanted it to be landed. That I could say, hey, we need to land the plane, and they'd do it. They can't land at any place, but he said, I knew we could land someplace. He said, I realized once I was flying on a plane, if I'd have gone up to the pilots and say, we need to land now, they'd go, that's real nice, John. Go back, sit down, and we'll be at wherever we're going in like an hour. And he said, because I lost that control, I was all of a sudden afraid to be in an airplane. That I would say pride and control are sort of the same thing here. That when we can't direct things the way we want to, then that's how we get in the way of the Lord. It's hard to turn our life over to the Lord and be led all the time, because it's a little scary. We think we know more. And so if you're talking about writing down something for a resolution, I would say try to figure out a way to let the Lord lead you instead of you doing it yourself. Now, whether that is before you make some major decision, you sit down and pray about it for a while, maybe that works for you. But figure out a way to let the Lord lead you. Because I think if you do that, this relationship will get so much better and you'll have less stress in your life. One of the things, and I've told you guys this before, that people seem to be really stressed out because of a virus that you can't see. I mean, you only know when it's around if somebody around you is sick. Because if the virus was sitting there right now, we can't see it. We don't know. We don't know who has it all the time, because sometimes you don't show any symptoms until days later. And I still blame my wife for giving me that, just so you know. But we can't let our own pride get in the way. And so whatever it is you need to do to let the Lord lead you, it'll make your life so less complicated. It'll make it more enjoyable because you don't have to worry about stuff. Now, I don't worry about crashing in planes anymore. I am a lot better. Now, I will tell you, though, when we went to Israel, we were flying on the same plane with a bishop from Indiana. I could always visualize the headlines: United Methodist Bishop for Indiana dies in horrific plane crash on the way to Israel. I always assumed it would be in the ocean so that we would never be found. It was like a double dip for me because I don't really like to be in the water and I don't like to fly. And I watched that map when that plane was over water. But since then, I've done a lot better when I've had to fly. I'm just not so anxious. Because A, I can't do anything about it. And so I just say a prayer when we get on the plane, and if it shudders or anything, I have to say a couple more prayers. But I'm not so anxious when I fly now like I used to be. And it's much more enjoyable trip. Lasts just as long, so you know, you didn't get there faster, but it lasts just as long. So whatever it is you need to do, figure out what that is for you and let's do it. Father, be with all of us as we go out into your world. Let us be the shining light for all to see, to bring your love and your grace to all that we encounter, whether we're lifting them up, praying for them, however we choose to bring them nearer to you. Let us be led by your thoughts, your prayers, your guidance. Amen. Mm-hmm.